That just blows me away to know that God loves us just as much as he loves his son. It's not that because we did it right or we have so much to give him. His love is a gift.
Well, hello, I'm Dr. Peggy Banks, and I'm joined here today with singer-songwriter Babbie Mason.
Hello, Peggy Banks, and hello, our listening audience.
We welcome our listeners. Thank you for being with us today with our podcast, Hope Has a Name, which is part of TWR Women of Hope. And today, we are just jumping into a passage of Scripture that really has touched our hearts over our lives and walk with the Lord. Babbie and I were just talking about this passage in the Gospel of John. Some call it the high priestly prayer. This is the prayer that we see Jesus praying to the Father before he went to the cross. I mean, it's in a very important time where it comes into the Scriptures, where Jesus has spent all these hours talking to the disciples about what it means for ministry when he is gone, encouraging them to let them know that not to lose heart, that he won't leave them alone, but he will send a spirit that will help them. And just continually talking to them, washing their feet, showing them what ministry is supposed to look like when he's gone. And we're going to talk about this passage for a couple of our shows. We have a series that we'll be looking at John 17. This is our first series as we look at what it means to be a daughter of the Most High King. And we'll start in John 17, 1, and just read verses 1 through 5.
Okay.
And then I'm just going to pass it on to you, Babbie. Just share with us a little bit how God has really used this passage as we start.
It changed my life, really.
And begin in it. But in John 17, the Gospel of John in the New Testament, chapter 17, verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him." We could talk about that.
Amen.
One verse forever. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed.
Yes, powerful.
Man.
You know, when I discovered this passage from John 17, which I some call it the high priestly prayer. Others call it the real Lord's Prayer.
Yes.
Because Matthew chapter 6 is a model prayer, the Lord's Prayer that we recite. But this prayer, we really see the heart of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we see this beautiful relationship that he has with his Father. Mm-hmm. It's very intimate and very real and even raw. Mm-hmm. You feel the passion of Jesus as he has this conversation with his Father.
Yes.
And this whole chapter is talking about, he says, I'm one with you. You and I are one. And he prays that you and me, Peggy, and those who are listening, would understand that unity. Mm-hmm. And we are a part of that unity. We are part of that family. Mm-hmm. And Jesus prays for himself.
Yes.
But he also prays for us. And we'll look at that a little later on. But one of the verses that just blesses my heart is verse 2. Where Jesus says, "You gave the Son," meaning him, "you gave the Son power over all people so that the Son could give eternal life to all those you gave him."
Mm.
And one day as I read that, I saw that Jesus is praying for those the Father has given him.
Yes.
And I said, "What? Father, you gave me to Jesus?" God has given us to Jesus.
So personal.
And he mentions that several times throughout that passage.
Yes.
And as we progress throughout this passage, we'll see that. But I want to make a reference to that because Jesus prays that several times. In verse 6, he says, I showed what you are like to those you gave me from the world. In verse 9, he says, I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the people in the world, but for those you gave me. And then verse 24, he says, Father, I want these that you gave me to be with me where I am.
Yeah.
And so Jesus wants us to know that we're not an outcast. We're not an alien. We are actually a gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are a gift. And gifts are bestowed. The Father has given you, Peggy, me, Babby, you, listener. He has given us to his Son as gifts.
Mm.
And that means we're his treasure. We are his heart. We are the thing that is most precious to him.
Yeah.
And I love John 3:16, where it says, for God so loved the world, that's us, that he gave. And so this whole passage is just a beautiful explanation and a beautiful picture of giving.
Mm-hmm.
And the Father giving to his Son, the Son giving to us, because we're treasures.
Yeah. Yes. And as you mentioned, Babby, we will talk more about that in our following shows, talking about this passage in John 17. But these five verses, we really can identify the relationship that Jesus had with his Father.
It's so intimate.
The intimacy of it, and really seeing here how Jesus reminds us that part of his work on the earth was this divine plan of redemption. Right? He was sent here so that those who believe in him will have eternal life.
Yes.
We will be able to be with Jesus in heaven. And that's, you know, that we see, I glorified you on the earth. Jesus is saying this to his Father, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. So the work that God gave Jesus to do was not just feeding the poor, healing the sick, teaching those, you know, about the kingdom of God. The work God gave him to do was to die for our sins.
Amen.
This divine plan of redemption, redeeming the world from this brokenness and sin. That's what Jesus came here to do. And he did that.
Yes. And I love the fact that he finished the work. He didn't quit.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't give up.
Yes.
But right until the very end was accomplished, he did the work. He completed the work.
Yeah.
And this is just a word of encouragement for us today, not to quit.
Right.
Don't give up on the calling that God has given you. Don't give up on your gifts. Don't give up on your assignment. Mm-hmm. It might be hard. I mean, this was not easy for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says he sweat drops of blood. It was so intense. His time of prayer with the Father was so intense that he sweat drops of blood.
Mm-hmm.
So this was not easy for him. Not only was Jesus God, he was also man. He was divine, but he was also man. And I love the fact that Jesus finished.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a word of encouragement for us to finish, to go to the finish, not to give up.
Yes. The thing that we see is that Jesus prayed to glorify God. Jesus said to God, glorify your Son, which is this picture of when it is finished, he will be with his Father in heaven, glorified, right? So when we are going through those trials as children of God, now we become children of God when we believe that Jesus is our Savior, right? We are created by God, but we're not really in the family of God until we believe that Jesus, and now we become children of God, right? And so we will be glorified if we persevere, if we continue. Yeah, Jesus prayed, God, glorify your Son. It's this justification for the suffering, right? He is suffering for our sins so that we may be glorified. You know, he accomplished the work, and you see it so clearly here with Jesus's words to his Father. It's just reminding his Father, you know, I've come, I've accomplished what the plan that you sent me, what you called me to do. Now glorify your Son. And for us, like you said, Babbie, God has a plan for each of us. And for us to keep our eyes on that plan that God has for us. I can't keep my eyes on your plan for you. You know, I have to keep my eyes on my plan for me and pray that the Lord will get me to that place and finishing the work that he's accomplished.
Yeah. You know, this sounds very basic and it almost sounds like a cliche and even trite. But it really is the crux of the whole Bible, and that the reason why all of this happens is because God loves us. Mm-hmm. And that just blows me away to know that God wants us to know that he loves us just as much as he loves his son. Mm-hmm. And it's not that because we did it right or we have so much to give him. His love is a gift. And what do you do with a gift? Well, first of all, you receive it. And you receive it with thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. If I were to bring you a present, even if it's a piece of chocolate or whatever, I give you this gift because I want you to know how much I love you.
That's right.
You receive the gift. Mm-hmm. And the first two words out of your mouth, our mothers taught us as little girls, is to say thank you, mm-hmm. is to have a heart of gratitude. Mm-hmm. And then you use the gift in your living, in your life, and you appreciate it. It brings you joy. And that's what this whole relationship is about.
Yes, yes.
His love to us is a gift. It's a gift that changes our life for all of eternity.
Yeah. And we have to open the gift.
You know, and so use it.
I am so bad at receiving gifts. I will tell you that, Babbie. I can receive them, but then sometimes they'll sit on my desk or they'll sit in wrapped up or in an envelope. It's terrible. So my husband gave me a gift years ago when we first got married. And I love gifts that are unique, that people spend time thinking about, you know, what I like. And I just like those kind of gifts. And so early in our marriage, those weren't necessarily the gifts I was getting. So Ken would bring something and put on my desk at work as we worked together, and I'd say thank you, and I really wouldn't open it until we got home. You know, it was terrible. I admit it. I'm just confessing it today. But anyway, one day for my birthday, he gave me a gift, and I opened it. And when I opened it, there was a picture frame. And I looked at it. It looked like it'd come from a drugstore. And I was like, oh, that's kind of nice, a picture frame. And I stuck it back in the bag. And we went driving home that day from work, and my husband said, did you open your gift? And I said, yes, thank you for the picture frame. And he looked at me, he goes, I didn't get you a picture frame. Well, there was something inside the picture frame box that was not a picture frame. So I opened up the box in the car, and my husband had gone to an antique store. I love antiques. And he found an antique dance card. In the 1800s, women used to wear them around their wrist at very big events, and you would sign their dance card, and then you would dance with the men that would sign up to dance with you, this antique dance card. He had taken the time to go to this antique store and ask this. It was so amazing.
Wow.
Blessed my heart tremendously that he took the time to do that. That was really unique for me. Jesus has a plan for each one of us that's unique.
Yes.
And he has a gift
custom
for us.
Custom made, like right? A blueprint.
And we just can't open it up and think that it's something else. That's, okay, it looks like this. This is what I should be doing. Keep digging deeper. Keep going in the Word. Keep searching and seeking out the skills and the gifts and the talents he's given you to really find that unique gift that he's given you that only you can do. Right?
Yes.
And then live it out to the fullness of what God has for you. But you have to open it up. You have to dig deeper.
That's right. That's a beautiful illustration.
So today we started in passage John 17, and we're going to continue to talk through this passage even more and more as we see Jesus' prayer for himself. We're going to look at Jesus' prayer for the apostles, Jesus' prayer for each of us. So we hope that you'll join us as we continue through John 17. If you'd like to contact us, you can contact me at peggy@twr.org or babbie@twr.org. We thank you for being with us today, and we look forward to seeing you the next time.